Let's pray. Father, there's a lot going on today, a lot of moving parts. I pray you gear us together, Lord, like a fine-tuned clock this morning. Help me pick up on the gears where you're at, where you're not. I can move and flow wherever you want me to do. Shred the notes. But Lord, most of all, I pray whatever shared today behind this pulpit would impact hearts and lives for your glory and your name. And the church said, amen. Well, today's title is For Pete's Sake. For Pete's Sake. It's an approximate 5-week study. Season one, For Pete's Sake. Episode one is Simon doesn't have any say anymore. Simon has no say. I don't know if you're a kid. Remember, kid, Simon says, or do this. Yeah, Simon has no say anymore. And this letter, actually, that we're going to be breaking through is a letter from the church to the church. Who's the church? I am the church. Who's this letter to? There we go. All right, we're ready this morning. I feel it. But as we do, I want to, this is a great slide-in series. Episode one's going to be easy. It's kind of like a soft rock. You know, Peter's the rock, and it's like a soft rock entry that we're going to be getting into today. So Pete's sake, it's going to not just be a study on First Peter, but on our culture, our church culture, and the culture around us. So I don't know if you're into this, and this is the kind of things I get in a lot of trouble for over the past almost 19 years, but I like occasionally to rock out my garage. And it's not all Christian rock. I'm an old school rocker. You know, Bella's dad and I used to love to trade tunes back and forth. You know, like, we're old school rockers. Like, this song. But almost every great rock song has a nice lead-in entry, right? So I thought I'd play some lead-in music today. Could you play a little lead-in music for me? It's a smooth lead-in, right? You go, oh, pick up the loose. As soon as the music starts, all your heads are going. It's like watching chickens. You know, just doing it. Chickens. This is going to be a soft intro today in episode one of season one of For Pete's Sakes. Remember, it's a letter from the church to the church. And Peter's like a top-level church guy, right? You remember, he's the guy that actually Jesus said, I'm going to build my church upon the revelation he had, right? So who's the church now? Me. We're the church now. So it's our turn, right? So I got some origin for the name Pete's Sake because I was worried there'd be trouble if I use this for a title. And yes, it was used to replace cussing. Back in the early church, like early 300s church, there people were, well, we shouldn't say, oh, God, and be upset. We'll change it to St. Peter, in St. Peter's sake. So it came all the way down from the dude today, all the way down. I was shocked by that. But in our culture today, if you've ever heard the word Pete's sake, it kind of carries frustration, right? Or like the connotation, you should have known something. For Pete's sake! Like, you should have known better than what you just did. You know, ever have those kind of things? There's many things we should have known, right? But I got some examples for Pete's sake. Most of the time, Pete's sake is overused. Like, you ever heard stuff like this? For Pete's sake, why did you do it that way? I mean, if you grew up in my house as a kid, I heard that a lot. For Pete's sake, why'd you marry that guy? Don't look around. Oh, yeah. For Pete's sake, why do they make these Advil cold and sinus packages so difficult to open? That's a personal problem I have. For Pete's sake, where's your common sense? Ever heard that? For Pete's sake, how long is this service going to be? There's all sorts of things. No. Say for Pete's sake. It's the stuff we should know, we should have down. There's some stuff in our life we should have down by now. You know, Kaylee, you can tie your shoes, right? Yeah, she knows. She's got it down now, Mama. You don't got to help her anymore. Isn't that great? She got that down. Mm-hmm. Way to be, Kaylee. You can go on the next Mexico trip now. Yeah. It's stuff we should have known better, you know, and we need to get a hold of. So First Pete's kind of like episode one's just the soft rock entry. You know, I got a picture of an eased-in swimming hole, I think. See that? That's in Samoa. You see, they walk down, there's kind of like little steps, and they're just kind of chilling. You know, they eased into the water a little bit, and there's a time to ease in. You know, it's easy like Sunday morning, but then there's a time to make an all-in commitment. I got a picture of that, too, I think. Boom. Yeah, that's how Miley entered, the same place. If you turn your head sideways, it's definitely Miley. I have no control over technology, but it is definitely Miley. Do you know, it's the same with 1 Peter, the whole chapter, the first chapter. All right, we could cut it. I don't need any more jumpers. It's really the soft opening to some really deep stuff. Like 1 Peter's, I got to be honest with you, and I felt like the Lord is developing it. When I was away on study break, I had the thought of it, and I didn't even develop it then because I don't want to preach on that. Yeah, it's like, I don't want to get into that. I'll do that at Ethos Counseling. We'll do that one-on-one. I don't want to do this, you know, but it's not what I want to do, right? So it's our time to become his rock. And if your old Simon has had say, it's time for no more say. 1 Peter, for Pete's sake, 1:1-2. Keep them up. I'm slow rolling, dude. Peter, I'm stopping right there. Are you kidding me? Here's Cephas, the rock, the disciple named Simon, who decided to die to himself, right, became Peter. And the more he became a follower of Christ, the more he became the rock. And God's looking at the church and he's asking us more of us, I believe. So if Simon died to himself, he no longer has say, right? Simon has no longer opinions on how God runs the show. Ever have an opinion how God does something? Come on, most of our prayers are opinions of what he should do. Come on. You can look at me. I had the same problem. I had a mirror. I had the same problem. Most of our prayers are stuff we want him to do. That's what we do, right? So we have these opinions and ideas, and no longer we have a say in those things. So it's time for us to give up our say. And that's really hard. I'm going to talk about that today. But it's time to give up our opinions and our ideas for what God says. And that's really hard in our culture. Because a lot of things that are biblically obvious are under such attack in our culture today. And we just want to share, you know, I read this in the Word, but my opinion is, we have a problem with that. We do. Peter the Rock, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the elect, both Jewish and Gentile believers, say the whole church, to all who live as... I've had an experience of the past 32 years plus being a disciple of Jesus Christ, 35 altogether. But in the past 32, I learned more than I did before. And I learned that everyone who says they love Jesus and are Christians don't always live as it. I know, 1 Peter, this is a soft entry. But don't always live as it. They say a lot of things, right? They attend the church function. I've seen it over the course of years. Saying and doing can be two different things. Anybody ever know that? Yeah, two different things. So he's talking to those who live as exiles scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia Minor, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Anybody else needed sanctifying work? What's sanctifying word? Yeah, I needed it. When I came into the church, the ushers should have put three guys between me and Dr. Heidi. I needed sanctification. Didn't matter, like, oh, that's your future wife. Yeah, you need to be sanctified, bro. You're not ready for all that. When we come to the kingdom, no matter who we are, if you really come to Jesus, you must come to the sanctification process. That's the realization. I'm a sinner, and I actually need help, and without it, I'm going to be in trouble. Sanctification is needed, right? And I sad to admit, but it's still needed every day for me as well. Sanctification's a process, right? It's work. You got to let, if you're not working on yourself, you're probably trying to work on somebody else. How's that going? I know. It's tough, isn't it? It's tough. This is a soft rock entry. Soft. The sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient. Say obedient. Obedient to Jesus Christ. Obedience is a tough word for humans. Come on. Especially Americans. Yeah. Especially Americans, man. But if we don't get integrated with the very important word of obedience, then we lose. We lose. You can't have a real Lord and disobey on a regular basis because they're not really your Lord. And so this isn't about obedience. And it's tough sometimes because you come into situations, I don't want to be obedient to do it. I don't want to even preach this series. I'm dragging my feet even this morning, like, Lord, we can change it up. The Spirit's moving this morning. I got a word from God. I know I gave you a word. For Pete's sake, use it.
Yes, sir.
To be obedient to Jesus Christ, to be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in increasing abundance. May grace and peace be yours in increasing abundance as you walk closely with God. Anybody needing grace and peace in even little amounts? Anybody needing abundance? There's an answer. It's time to walk closely with God. If you've been walking in anxiety for a good long season, and you've been worried about the presidential elections too much, and you've been worried about this, and global warming, and acid rain, and carbon monoxide, whatever's got you down, you're focused on all that, you're like, Pastor, we have no idea you're talking about. I don't know, I see your Facebook, so it's not true. There's worries out there. Troubles, right, Jazz? Troubled. So when you're troubled, and you want increasing peace, and grace, my number one go-to should be walk closely with God. Draw closely to God. Attempting to walk closely with God, that's the key to everything, to be honest with you. Closeness to God is the key. Look at your neighbor. Say, closeness to God is the key in your life. Closeness to God is the key in your life. Is anyone looking for a lot more grace and peace? It's time to walk closer with God. Plus, I don't know if you've ever done follow the leader before, but the closer you are to the leader, the easier it is to follow him. It's easier to follow the leader when you're close to him. And sometimes we find ourselves wandering around, confused, frustrated, and that's just an aisle two at Walmart. And you're like, man, what happened? Like, well, I'm not walking with God this morning. I'm trying to hunt down toothpaste and get out of here before I have to have a conversation. That's not always walking with God. Ed, I know, it's just picking on me this morning. No one else has to take that on. Say, for Pete's sake, 1 Peter 1, 3 through 4. Blessed, gratefully praised and adored, blessed, gratefully praised and adored be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pull over. You notice this, it does not say this. Hey, God, just bless some things and situations for me, will you? Isn't that how we use, most of the time we're talking about bless, we're saying, God, could you bless me? Could you bless him? Could you bless her? There's nothing wrong with asking for those things, but we get it out of order. I think we get too caught up in, what can God do for me today? I got up this morning, I got a list of stuff I'd like you to do, things I had to do, and that $1 million still ain't come in. So knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door again this morning. The persistent faith of a righteous man avails much. Give me my fill in the blank, my blessing. But here's a hard thing as we ease into this. God is not our puppet to command. God's not our puppet to command. God is not a hoop jumping dog. We're in the dog track, but this is the God section. It's a dyslexic issue in our lives. Sometimes we think of God as the dog. Come on, come here, God, I need you here. Here, come, God. Come right now. God, do this for Randy. Do it right now in Jesus' name. Now. Jump through that hoop. Come on, I'm just trying to help the church become better at being the church. We gotta get past some things if we're really gonna, because hard season's coming. And if we're not ready for it, We're not ready for it. We're not a rock. We're going to be crumbling sand, building on nothing that lasts, right? Blessed be the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ. According to his abundant and boundless mercy, he has caused us to be born again. Born again. Jesus says that. Very important to be born again. Sometimes we, the church, make it complicated. Sometimes when I, even now in certain situations, when I hear the word born again, I might get a cringe based on how they're communicating it to me. We use it sometimes as a denominational categorization. Some people say born again. Now, well, that means you're crazy over here handling snakes and screaming people at megaphones. No, I don't mean that. It has nothing to do with being born again. Born again is something different. The point that born again is trying to get across is we need spiritual renewing. We need to accept that. We can't stay the same. We can't stay the same. We recognize that we personally need Jesus and understand that we got to die to our old selves, right? That's what born again starts. So my question this morning as we wade into this watering hole is, are you born again? No, really. No, I was raised in church since I was 4. That don't mean you're born again. I can quote this or that. That does not mean you're born again. I got AI that can quote anything, and that AI ain't born again. But are you? Like, are you? That's a good question. Have you experienced that moment where Jesus became so real to you that you would trade anything for that forgiveness? He said, all you got to do is believe in me, and I'll carry all that sin for you, and I'll make your life different. And if you'll follow me and be my disciple, and you cast everything off because that's all that mattered, if you haven't had that moment, then I want to challenge, are you born again? Because we want to, like, sometimes church is just a place to be religious and to get together in fellowship, but it's not just a cheer section. It's a place where we become stronger together. And the problem has been in society is the weaker the church becomes, the stronger the evil rises. It's time we become the rock. You know? It's time we become the rock. We read in John 3, Jesus says we must be born again, right? So born again, it says, that is to be reborn from above, spiritually transformed, to was blind, now I see. Born again means I'm going to have to see things different. I'm going to be transformed. I can't stay the same and be born again. Doesn't mean you're instantly perfect, because you're never going to be that, only Jesus. But if we come to Jesus and never let any change happen in our lives and no sanctification process, then I challenge, are you born again? You got to let somebody tell you something, might as well be God. Reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed. Renewed, I must change now. And set apart, I must become usable. It's just not about me being fixed from broken spots. Like, you know, we're not just some reclamation project from the Lord. Well, here's a piece of trash. I'll make it into something at least nice. God takes something and he makes it new, and then he makes it usable. Our wounds, we talk in the wound series, our wounds are so needed. Because if we can get healed by great things that God can do in our life, and people can touch our scars and they can have hope for their healing, we're supposed to be healing. That's what we talk about. But we got to be set apart. We got to be usable. Simon doesn't have say anymore. Say set apart. Set apart for his purpose. If I'm born again, I'm going to live for his purpose. To an ever-living hope and confident assurance through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Into this new family, born-again tree, an inheritance which is an imperishable, undefiled, unfading, reserved in heaven for you. Look at your neighbor. Let's have a look at Nick. He can take it. Let's all look at Nick. Pastor, I'm going to punch you right after church. You ready? God has an inheritance for you. Yeah. God has an inheritance for you because he's the church. So far, this is rock solid letter for the church. It's comfy and smooth sailing so far, right? No one's been uncomfortable to this point. Kaylee's like, hit the gas, Pastor. You know, put the rest of the boss's song. I want to hear the, you know, settle down. Settle down. 1 Peter 5:7. You who are being protected and shielded by the power of God through your faith for salvation. That's nice. Anybody want that? I want that every day, right? Your faith for salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Ready to be revealed. The church's faith ready to be revealed. Yeah, it's time. We've got to be prepared to be put on display. I know you all remember everything I've ever spoken, every series. You got to, you know, just watch them all the time. You don't even have Netflix. You just watch what I'm saying. That's great. You'll remember the series. Jen's like, pop it. I know what you're going to say before you're going to say it, probably. You know. But we did this series about we're supposed to be looked at, just not looked to. But a lot of us don't want to be looked at. And it's not necessarily about our insecurities. It could be. But a lot of times it's, I don't know what kind of Jesus reflection I'm really giving off. So I'm going to dip right here. But there comes a time where he's asking his church, it's time for me to reveal your faith right now. Like, I need you now. I'm not ready. I need you to get ready. Why? Because I'm sending people into your life in Walmart aisle 2 that you've been trying to avoid. But you're going to need to pray for them and talk to them about me because they're about to go do something terrible in their life and they're a mess. You better be ready for that moment, Pastor. Yes, I better be more prayed up for Walmart, Father. Ready to be revealed. We're actually called to be looked at. In this, you rejoice greatly. You rejoice greatly even, I'm going to skip that note because I think it'll be too much. You rejoice greatly even though now, say now, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, this next point is going to be super unpopular, but sometimes you have to go through some stuff. You can't avoid stuff. If you got to go through stuff. If you think you can get through life and not go through stuff, I'd like to have a conversation with you. We have to go through stuff, and it's necessary for us to go through stuff. Every terrible thing that I ever went through that I never want to go through again taught me something about stuff that I could have never learned, unfortunately, any other way. It says, you have been distressed by various trials. Anybody? Anybody have various trials this year? Anybody have various trials this month? How about various trials this morning on the way to church? Various trials. Various trials. I see that hand. I see that hand. Various trials. It's necessary that we go through various trials so that, here's the most important part of what we're taking out today right here, honestly, so that the genuineness of your faith, so that the genuineness of your faith is more precious than gold. Look to somebody and say, the genuineness of your faith is precious. Now, my faith may not be perfect, but it can't be fake. Your faith may not be perfect, but it can't be fake. Your faith may not be perfect, but it can't be fake. He's looking for genuineness. I mean, all of us just want genuine. Genuineness. And so when they bite into you, are they tasting Jesus? Depends on the day. Ed, I got to get better. One bad apple can spoil the whole bunch, girl. You know? Genuine God relationships are rare and precious. That's what the world needs. They need you to know Jesus. Really know him. And really have a relationship with God and do everything you know how to do to cultivate relationship so God's fruit's growing out of your life for someone else. That's what he needs. That's the church. That's why we got healed up the first place. It says, more precious than gold, which is perishable, and even tested and purified by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Your genuine faith is precious. Your genuine faith is needed now. It is so hard for me when I see, no one's going to be perfect, but I see the church, not New Season, this is one of the greatest places in the world, I believe. I love it here. So when I pick on the church in general, I'm not picking on you guys, I'm picking on me and everyone else. That doesn't go here. But One of the biggest problems I have is when I feel like people are trying to sell Jesus. It just bugs me. And then for $19.95, you get some Ginsu knives. Back up. Instead of give you a sword and shield, don't be disingenuous. If you don't know that scripture and isn't a part of your life and you don't know God, just pray for somebody else. But I am so tired of people trying to bite into our lives and they're not getting Jesus. They're getting something else because we just haven't been genuine. And sometimes genuine is, man, I'm having a rough day. I'm having a rough day and you came to me for prayer. It says pray for one another that we might be healed. So you pray for me, I'll pray for you because it's rough today. That's genuine. How you doing? Blessed and highly favored. I thought you just got kicked out of your house. You got no place to live. You're sleeping in the car and has no AC. I'm just claiming it. Awesome. It'd be great if you were genuine. Genuineness is the most precious thing, he said. And so why do we have these various trials pressing against our faith? Because we got to see what's really in there. We got to see what's really in there. And also, I don't know if you've ever melted gold down, but you got to see what needs to come out of there. Genuine faith is precious, but it takes work. We cannot have genuine faith without trials. I don't like trials. I spend most of my life trying to avoid trials, right? Shoot, I don't like trials. I don't like tests. I don't like spiders. I don't like snakes. I don't like none of it. None of it. Say, I will not be fake. My faith is precious. 1 Peter 1, 8 through 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Anybody? And though you do not even see him now, you believe and trust in him. And you greatly rejoice and delight with inexplicable joy. What? Public plays of affection. Public displays of affection. Says, yeah. If you love him, you're gonna. Sometimes you gotta. I love coming in here. My children have cleaned this church. I have cleaned this church. But one of my favorite cleaners is the Wilson Cross. One of my favorite. Not only do they do a killer job, they do a killer job, detailed killer job. It's incredible. But I love coming in. And the worship's so loud when I come in. They're like a sound wave hits you, pushes you out the door. It's like, woo! Well, he's worshiping. And over here, he's vacuuming, he's praying, he's worshiping. I'm like, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Receiving as a result your faith, the salvation of your souls. Here's a side note about faith. Hebrews 11, 6, I put it in there, just a sidebar. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Whoever comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Your faith is needed. Like, that's needed. 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12. Regarding the salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace of God that was intended for you searched carefully and inquired about this future of salvation, seeking to find out that person what time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating, as he foretold the sufferings of Christ, the glories to follow. Basically, he's saying, hey, the guys of old, the prophets, said Messiah was coming. And they didn't realize who it was for. But they knew that's what God was saying. And here we are, the church today. And if we've met him and we know him, then we also know he's coming back. We are the prophets today. That's why he's trying to sanctify us, because what we say out of our mouth and what we do really matters. And it's not holy church talk. It's genuine faith. Genuine faith. Your scars. Hey, I got over addiction. Why? Because genuine faith. And I'm accountable. Why? Because genuine faith. And I wasn't this anymore. Why? Because genuine faith. And I used to make decisions based on what I felt was good and what Oprah said. No more. Genuine faith. It was revealed to them, and that their services and prophecies regarding grace was not meant for themselves, but for you. Say, it's my time now. In these things, death, resurrection, and the glories of Jesus Christ, which have now been told to you by those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, who's sent from heaven, And here's a crazy thing. It says, into these things the angels long to look. And I'm not going to linger there much, but that baffles me. It's always baffled me as a Christian. The angels in the throne room of God, always around God, and they can't conceive the mercy God has for us. Because we come in as believers, honestly, to the grace and mercy of Jesus and the tenderness of our brokenness, right? But sometimes what we lack to understand is his omnipotence and Godhood crushes the world. It is power beyond our control or thought. He is omnipotent. And the angels know that. Lord, why are you putting up with Sean? Why are you putting even up? What David said, I'm dust. What are you paying attention to me for? And the angel goes, yeah, that's what we wonder. And what, Jesus is going to die for that guy? It's a mystery to them. God, why would you do that? I'm so grateful for that mystery. I'm so grateful. 1 Peter 1:13-16. So prepare your minds for action. So prepare your minds for action. This is a letter to the church. Who's the church? I'm the church. So prepare your minds for action. Anyone have any mind problems? Time to prepare for new actions. If you're having some mind problems, it's time to prepare new actions. Right? So prepare your minds for the action. Be completely sober. Be completely sober in spirit. Steadfast. Look at pastor. Say, time to be consistent. Steadfast. Man, if I was steadfast, I'd already have dropped 20 pounds this summer. Haven't been so steadfast. I haven't been fasting at all. More like I'm on a cookie binge, you know? Sober in spirit, steadfast, self-disciplined. If you want to, say this with me. Time to put myself in check. Time to put myself in check. Don't be putting someone else in check. Holy Ghost squad patrol, don't need you putting anybody in check. Check yourself before you wreck yourself, right? It's time to check ourselves. That's what he's saying. It's time to prepare your minds for actions, to be completely sober, steadfast, self-disciplined, spiritually and morally alert. Say, God has ways. And this is, we're on the beach right now. The rest of Peter is going to be some of God's ways. And some of God's ways don't always make us feel comfortable, or do we want to cheer about them. But they're God's ways. You ever hear the story about the ships that were passing in the Pacific Ocean? Kind of head-on course collision. Oh, it's a cool story. There's these two ships, and there's these big lights. Listen. And it's beaming at each other. And the captain says, this is the USS Archimedes. Adjust your course 10 degrees to the north. And the light in front of him says, you'd adjust yourself 10 degrees to the north. And he's like, I am the admiral on the USS Archimedes. I can blow you out of the water. You will adjust 10 degrees to the north. And he says, impossible. I'm a lighthouse. See, that's how we are with God sometimes. He's the lighthouse. We're the ship. We have to adjust ourselves, right, to what he says. There are moral things in his word that you go, I wish that wasn't true, Lord, but that's truth. And I'll adjust myself, right? Fix your hope completely on the grace of God. Completely on. That is coming to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Say, live as. Live as. Oh, there's that word. Live as obedient children of God. Say, for Pete's sake, this was supposed to be soft. For Pete's sake, Pastor, but I feel like this is the season for us to get ready to hear these things. Like, this is the time for us to become rock hard in the good way. Right? It's time for us to be stronger than we've been in our faith. And not faking it, not pretending to be stronger, but actually growing in ways to get stronger. You know, I put this post up the other day on Facebook. It said, how many people are reading their Bible every day? I got three responses. I said, goodness, Lord, I hope that's not true. You know, the song, Bella could sing it for if you want. She's got a great voice. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow, grow, grow. And that's foundational stuff, right? This message is so simple. But I know most of us need to do that more often than we've been doing it. So we can build ourselves up to be the rocks we're supposed to be. So when the storms come, we can take it. And so when people need to hold on to something solid, you're it. The church can't be soft anymore. We just can't be. Live as obedient children to God and do not be conformed. Got to close soon. Do not be conformed. Do not be conformed to the evil desires which governed you in your ignorance. Governed you before you knew the requirements and transformation power of the good news regarding salvation. Do not be conformed. It is so tough. Because all sorts of camps are shouting at you in every direction. And this guy says, what? Did you see that article? The world is flat. You see this article? The world's a spear. You see this article? You know, I don't believe any of the articles. I'm going to start checking myself into God. And if he says about it, that's what I'm going to stand on. Because it's great mirrors and distraction. That's all it is. But like the Holy One who called you, be yourselves. Be holy yourselves in all your conduct. Be holy yourselves in all your conduct. The word I have a hard time there is all. All fall short of the glory of God. I got that one. Be set apart from the world by your godly character. I know. I got to have a hot flash up here. By your godly character. Like when they see you, man, there was a great song. It was very hypocritical. We sang as a kid because I went to all Catholic school and I did not know God. But we would beat the snot of each other in the playground. And then we would come in and sing songs. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. I loved it. After I just tore some dude's head off in the playground. I didn't get it. It was a song. Be set apart from the world by your godly character and your moral courage. It's time to have courage again. Be different from the world. It's a choice. Being different is a choice. Look at Kaylee. Say, what you going to do? What you going to do, Kaylee? Because it is written, you shall be holy as I am holy. I don't know if I'm going to get to close today to where I wanted to. I think I'll have to pause there and extend the series a little bit. I want to really get some things down in this series that are important. And maybe I'll just emphasize. Let's skip down to 1 Peter 1:22 for me, Joe. If you're able to do that. If you're not, that's cool. I can read it. It says, since by your obedience to the truth, you have purified yourselves for a sincere love of the believers. Since your obedience to the truth, you have purified yourselves for a sincere love of the believers. See that you love one another from the heart. I love to say what it doesn't say. It does not say, go get the love you need from someone. That you love one another from the heart. Yep. If you heard, I'm just trying to help you. If you heard, hope someone's love starts gets that and starts loving on me, you're not hearing it. That's soft church. That's not strong church. Strong church is just give it to me. Give me what I need to be stronger. See that you love one another from the heart. It does not say my neighbor, my spouse, my parents should somehow give me more love. But it says that you, man, I need to get better there. Anybody else need to get better there? Man, we're the church, right? So I got to get better there, Mark. Got to get better there, right? that you love one another from the heart always. That word's killing me. Always unselfishly seeking the best for one another. Say always. Anyone need work there? If anybody else in this room, I'm serious, that you spend all your time trying to work, Jasmine, it's probably you. All your work, all your life focus is on making everyone else better. If you're not Jasmine, the rest of us are convicted. Yeah. Jasmine's pretty incredible. She's always seeking the best for one another. So it says, always seeking the best for one another, for you have been born again. Born again, that is, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, set apart. Remember all that? That's proof. And so the hard things we're going through in our life in this season is to do one thing. It's to produce genuine faith. Genuine faith. Genuine faith in the church again. It's often said we need faith for miracles. No, we need faith in general. We need to trust God with our money, with our time, with our experiences, with our choices. We need to trust God. It's time. Why? Because we're the church now. Peter's not here, for Pete's sake. It's me. Peter's not here. It's you. So this is the season. We got to let God chisel stuff on us that we don't like. I would like it to be hot tub season. I would like that. I would like snow and hot tub season. It would be great. But it's not. It's heat and pressure season. And there's trials variously coming after me on a regular basis. And I have no idea what I'm supposed to do in the midst of that trial. And I'm feeling crushed on all sides. God, why are you doing this? I don't get it. I'm trying to see where your genuine faith is. Because an ounce of that's precious. An ounce of real Jesus is precious. So I want him to squeeze me and get Jesus out. And sometimes it doesn't happen unless we're squeezed. So if you're in the squeeze category, you've been feeling squeezed during this season, I want you to stand up. If you've been squeezed and pressed and having trials of various kinds and you're feeling overwhelmed, I pray this is the season that you grow closer to God than you ever have before. That's the key. Because if everyone in this room that's standing right now is in various trials, starts to produce this incredible new genuine faith, born-again experience, can you imagine how our city is going to change? Everyone's standing. What if genuine faith was squeezed out of us again? What if we became rocks this year? What if we let God do whatever he wanted to do? Change our plans? Give us new ones? Ask us to be obedient and to trust him? What if we did that this year? Father, we put our hands to you. Because as good intentions as we have, it is so hard to pull this off on our own. You said the Holy Spirit would help me transform. You said the Holy Spirit would give me moral courage. You said you would never leave me or forsake me. So, Father, during this season of becoming the rock, the church, Lord, have your way in us completely. Lord, we want other people to know how genuine you are. We want other people to know how much you love us. What you've done for us. Lord, they're out there searching for so many things. I pray when they bite into the church this year, wherever the church is, all over the world, when they bite into the church, Lord God, they would taste you. And genuine faith would change the world, Father. For Pete's sake, in Jesus' name.
If you continue to just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. I believe there's an invitation of God today that if you have never genuinely asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, meaning, I know that the way that I'm doing things in life right now is not getting me where I need to be. The word Lord means to be supreme controller. And so if today you said, I've not ever really fully committed that decision in my life, I'm going to ask if you would be courageous enough to lift your hand to Jesus this morning. I need you, Jesus. If that's a cry of your heart, I ask you to lift your hand and just say, God, today. The word says today is the day of salvation. And so, Father, I thank you for those hands lifted. Father, I thank you for the impact of heaven to meet earth in these earthen vessels today. The word says that the angels are rejoicing and we join with them. That the whole goal is to make hell smaller and heaven bigger because of the love that you had enough to send your only son. And for the love that Jesus had to say, I'll say yes to the cross for sins that I did not commit, but knowing that it is the only pure and holy blood that needs to be sacrificed for forgiveness of them so that these precious people can have a way to the Father. We rejoice in these decisions today, God. In Jesus' name. And if you rose your hand today for the first time, I would invite you to please join Pastor Larry and Pastor Sharon over here at the prayer wall to my right and to your left. And I ask that you would just meet with them and you would just ask them, what does this even really mean? Like, and if you don't fully know, just say, what does this fully mean? And we have a booklet for you about what it really means, what salvation really means, what that decision really means. And we have a Bible for you as well. And so today, if that is you, please see Pastor Larry and Pastor Sharon. And with that, let us go and be the church. Because you're going to get bit at this week. You're going to have opportunities for people to bite at you. And then we have to determine what are they going to taste. And so go and be the church. And when they bite at you, say, doesn't Jesus taste good? Amen. You are dismissed. You are dismissed.